Let's open our Bibles as we start these messages called Speak the Word Only. And let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 16, 17 and 18. And let's read that together. As we open these lessons. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, as we open these lessons, let's go to John chapter 14. And I want us to read this. And verse 10. So look at this together and read this. I'm going to read this from the King James and a few other translations. It says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father?" Who's speaking? Jesus is speaking. "And the Father in me." The words. Boy, I like this. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works." He's the author, somebody who does the works. He's the author of the works. He's the one that's carrying it out. He's the one that's accomplishing it. Who? The Father. He's doing it. But isn't that interesting? The words that Jesus speaks, he said, "I speak not of myself." He didn't author them. They didn't come from him. He said, "The Father's the one who gives me the words." And the New Living Translation says, "The words I say are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does His work through me." He does the work through me. Well, that's the same as we have today. He does the work through us. And what's interesting to me, it says, "The Father who lives in me," this is Jesus, "does His work through me, the Word." So He's doing the work through the Word. That's where the power is. So the Father is doing the works through the Word, which is what He's saying is Jesus. I like this. Is the same translation, or the same verse, I'm sorry, in the Message translation. John 14:10, it says, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act." So the words that are spoken are crafted by the Father and released as directed by Jesus. So you can see here And the interesting thing to me is that you would think that that would be clear to the church, the body of Christ. But what's interesting, how many have heard people say in the church, well, God can do anything. He's sovereign. He can do anything. Really? He's bound by His word. He is sovereign. But I think when we look at what Jesus said, Jesus, who was the Son of God and came to this earth as the Son of God, but He did not one miracle, He did not one divine act, one raising from the dead, He didn't heal one person as the Son of God. He did it as a man. A sinless man, but He did it as a man. And He did it as a man filled with the Holy Ghost and anointed by God. And you might say, well, where is that? Why don't you go over to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll just jump over here for a second. Look at Philippians chapter 2, and verse 5, and we're going to read 5, 6, and 7. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, let me read this from the Message translation. When we talk about Jesus, He set aside His privileges of deity. This is in the Message. It says, Philippians 2:5, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of Himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of Himself that He had to cling to the advantages of that status. No matter what, not at all. When the time came, He set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave and became human. So He set aside all of the privileges of deity and He became as a man. He became like human. And so all of His privileges He set aside. So He waited on the Father. Everything He did or spoke were directed by the Father God. And so all of the things that Jesus did here in this earth, He did as a man. And so when people say, well, He could do anything, no, He couldn't. Because the Scripture is very clear, even in John, He said, I can do nothing of myself, but what I see, I do, and what I hear, I say. So the Father operated through the Son. Now, you might ask, what does this have to do with speaking the word only? Well, one thing we could say here is that the Word of God, there is no other worthy source of words other than the Word of God. There is no other accurate or worthy source of words and thought other than God's Word. And that's even in the Scripture, it says, let God be true and every man a liar. So if our thoughts and our words aren't coming as directed by God, and they're coming from someone else or some other source, it's not worthy. It's not accurate. It could be wrong, you see. What do I mean by that? God's word says that his word is forever settled in heaven. God says, I cannot lie. Every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven above, from the Father of lights. So when the word of God makes statements that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall have no need of anything, as some of the translations. And when the scripture says, himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, and Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, he was made a curse for me. That is truth. That is what's accurate. So if thoughts or words come from any other source other than that, and we embrace it and believe it, it's a lie. So the only worthy source of thought comes from God. Let God be true, and every man a liar, because his words are not accurate unless they're God's words. And so we need to think about that. There are his thoughts that we think should think, and his ways are the ways that we should act. And his words are the words that we should speak. Because those things, those words, will transform us. And actually, in Romans 12:2, when it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. His will is perfect. His will is right. And when we receive his word, let the entrance of his word, that entrance bringeth light. And it gives understanding unto the simple. When we let his word in, it begins to change our thinking. We view things differently. We see things differently. How do we see them? Let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. You begin to think and see how God sees. You begin to think how he thinks. And so we're not trapped by this worldly system. We're not trapped by it. We may live in it. We may be exposed to the things that are in this world, but we can live above it. We're not restricted by it. Why? Because we have God's word, which has already been settled. And we'll explain that. Jeremiah 1:12 says that he hastens to his word to perform it. He hastens. Or the NIV says he's watching to see that his word is fulfilled. So when he inspires us to speak it, when we embrace his word, he watches over the words that we speak, his word, to make sure they're fulfilled. How? When it's spoken in faith, when God inspires us to speak something at his direction, he makes sure that it's fulfilled. I can't see how it's going to be fulfilled, but it's the Father in me that does what? The works. He's the one that's doing the work, not me. All Jesus did was speak at the direction of the Father, but he did the work. He made it come to pass. Same thing today. That's the process. We don't have to make something come to pass. He's given us his word. He watches over it to perform it and fulfill it. All we have to do is read it, believe it, get it in our heart, and as directed by the Father, speak it. That's all we have to do. So He can establish His covenant here in the earth so that we can bless and be a blessing to people. And when you think about it, what is the purpose when we see in Scripture when it says that it's His desire to establish His covenant here in the earth? When the Scripture talks about Jesus when He was raised from the dead, and it says when justice was satisfied, He was raised supernaturally by God from the dead. He paid the price. He paid for sin for a few, all that ever would come into this earth. He paid for their sins. And He paid for every sickness that would ever be or be created or be invented. Any sickness has already been paid for. And so the price has already been paid. All one has to do is believe that, receive it in their heart, and as they are confronted with obstacles, speak God's word, which is really what Jesus did as a man. He was a man. What did He do when the devil took Him up on a pinnacle and He said, if you will just bow down and worship Me, He said, I will give you all of these kingdoms. And He said, only God is the one that you should worship. And so He dealt with that obstacle. He dealt with that test with what? What the Father gave Him to say, which was already settled from heaven. And it's no different today. It doesn't mean we're removed from tests and obstacles. We're going to be confronted. We're going to be dealing with obstacles in life. But the Word of God, given to us by the Father, that's been already settled, as He gives it to us, as we meditate upon it, as we get it in our heart, it doesn't mean we just quickly, just as I am confronted with an obstacle, I don't just rattle off Scripture. I wait upon the Lord. I wait upon His direction. And as I'm directed, I speak, and He fixes the problem. I don't have to. It could look like I'm going down, but I'm not going down. Because if I speak to that problem, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's Mark 11, 22 and 23. But when you go to Matthew 21 and 21, it presents that scripture a little differently. He said, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do that which is done to the fig tree, but also, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. He's saying, if you had faith, you'd do the same thing I just did to the fig tree. That's what Jesus said. And that's no different today. That's no different today. As we're confronted with obstacles, as we're confronted with issues in life, we wait on the Lord and get His direction. Speak to it. It's a mountain. And He will do the work. He will clear the way. He will make the crooked way straight. He will get you through that situation. And that is the thing. And what happens is sometimes One, we're quick to speak without getting His direction. And sometimes folks will say, well, I spoke to it and it didn't change. Well, what did the Lord tell you to say? Well, if He told you to say it, you keep saying it until it changes. You keep saying it until it changes. Because otherwise, now you're questioning God and His Word. If He gave you that word to say, and He told you in His Word a specific thing, then you stay steady. Faint not. And you'll reap if you faint not. So we need to hold steady. So all of the miracles that Jesus did, everything that He did as a man, filled with the Holy Ghost, anointed by God. And that process, I use the word process, that process is still the same. That hasn't changed. His word is forever settled in heaven. When you think about this, well, let's look at this. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at a process here in the Bible. Let's look at a method. We call it a process or a method in the Bible. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, and let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3. We're looking at a method or a process. Genesis 1, 1, it says, in the beginning, God created. Who created? God did. He created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Who's moving? The Spirit of God. And God said, let there be light, and there was. Let me read this from the Amplified. Maybe this will make it a little plainer so you can see a method here, a process. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. Now listen to this. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. He was moving. He was hovering. He was brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding, but nothing happened until the command was given. He was hovering. He was waiting for a command. And when God said, think about it. In the King James, it says, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Was light be yet? No. Who created the light? The Spirit of God. But it was at the direction of the word spoken, light be. And light was. So you can see here in the Amplified when it says he was hovering, he was brooding. The King James says he was moving, but nothing happened until the command was given. Not a thing. Let's go to Luke. There's the process. There's the method. The Spirit of God is present here in the earth. He's moving. He's hovering. But He's waiting for a command. Through who? The body. At the direction of the Father. That's the method. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 30. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. It says, and the angel said unto her, this is the angel Gabriel, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, shall come upon thee. And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, whom was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the Holy Ghost, I'm adding here, the Holy Ghost did what? Moved. And did just exactly what he said would be. He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. But she had to say, be it unto me according to thy word. And then the Holy Ghost did what the word said. That's the process. And you can see that. And in Luke 1, when it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Let me read some of the translations, other translations. For no word from God will be void of power. For no word from God will ever fail. For no promise from God will be impossible of fulfillment. The Amplified, no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. No word from God will ever fail. So you can see, what does the Scripture say in 1 Peter 1:23? It says, being born again, what? Of a seed. We were born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What happened? The same process. The Holy Ghost was hovering and moving. And when you received Him and confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart and said, Jesus, come into my heart, the Holy Ghost moved. And did what? Changed your heart and made you a brand new creature. So that holy thing that was born in you was a brand new spirit. Same method, same process. There had to be words spoken. There had to be a command given for the Holy Ghost to move. You see that? I hope everybody sees that. So here in life, you can see that every seed has within it its own destiny. Every seed has its own destiny built into it. And so we can see here that in Ephesians 2:10, let's go over there for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? The good works. Let's go back to John 14. John 14, let's go back to John 14 and let's pick up there again. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. It says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So we look at that and we say, well, that was good for Jesus, but what about me? How am I going to do this, the works that he did and greater works? And he said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So you can see here, you might say, well, how could we ever do the same works he did? The same way, the same process, same method. He's doing the works. He gives us the directions. And he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Well, let me ask a question. If I gave you a direction and a command to do something, well, let me back up. How many here either are in a position of authority? They may own their own business, or they're a manager or director, or they have some level of responsibility. How many here like that? Anybody here like that? Okay. So you have some level of responsibility. Did you take that responsibility, or were you given that responsibility? Most of you, I'm sure, did not take it. You were given that responsibility, correct? You were given it. And once you were given that responsibility, did you say, gee, I don't know how I'm going to take this responsibility? You took it and you acted like you were, did you not? Because someone told you, you're in charge. And you acted like you were in charge. You didn't question, how am I going to do that? How am I going to be in charge? You were given a command. You're in charge. This says here, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall you do also. Is that not a command? That is a command. You shall do this. And you go, well, how am I going to do that? He tells you. He says right here, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You don't have to do the work. But you have been given a directive. You've been given a command to do something here in this earth. To do what? Do what he did. And greater works. But you don't have to do the works. You don't have to make it happen. Who's doing it? He said, I'm going to the Father. And he's going to do the work. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. See? So we have been given a directive, a charge, a command in this earth to do something. And with that, think about this now. The Word has within it the potential, the ability. It is the power of God. Isn't that what the Word says in Romans 1:16? It says, is it 1:16? Yeah. It is the power of God unto salvation. The Word of God has within it, it is breathed with God's very nature. It is the power of God. So when he said, you are going to do the same thing, that means along with that came the command and the power and the ability to do it. How is that going to happen? He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. It has the power in the Word to do exactly what it says. So the Word of God has within it, as we take it in and we believe it, did the Word of God have the ability, the seed, the incorruptible seed, did it change you? Yes. It says we were born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed. The seed of God's Word had the power within it to change you. And so that Word, when it was given as a command, and he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, you shall do also. But it's he that believeth on me. That's the difference. Because what did we read in John 3? It said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So you say, well, it's not working for me. Well, it won't work for those that don't believe. It works. The Word works for those who believe on him, the Word. So when you say, well, I'm still sick, you are believing or not believing? If you say, I still lack, are you believing or not believing? You're not believing. So it won't work for you. So the greater works, the works that he did, Now, you just think about that. If we just did that, if we just did the works that he did, raise the dead, heal the sick, and when you go through his life and you look at that and it says he healed the maimed, M-A-I-M-E-D, maimed. That means maimed means those that were disfigured, those that had parts missing on their body, those that had legs missing, hands missing, eyes missing, whatever. He healed the maimed. If we just did that, you wouldn't get in the door. But he said, you're going to do that and the greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. But it's for those that believe, not the ones that don't believe. And so today, the church, for me, and I said this in some of the past lessons, I said, what is it that you want changed in 2013? What is it that you are either tired of or you just have had enough and you want to change? Well, then you're going to have to change something. If you want something different, then you have to say something different. You have to do something different. Person says, well, I want to lose weight. Well, you're going to have to push away from the table. You're going to have to exercise. You're going to have to do something different. You want to get in shape. You're going to have to do something different. You can't do the same thing. If you want to become better educated, you're going to have to do something different. You're going to have to say something different. And that's no different here, because when somebody says something different, that means they believe in their heart that I'm going to change this and I am going in this direction. I'm changing, I'm going in this direction. And when you look at this, take a second here with me and go over to James chapter 3 just for a second. I'll just jump here for just a moment. It says here in James chapter 3, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. That just means somebody who's spiritually mature. Doesn't mean you don't miss it. And able also to bridle the whole body. That means keep something in check. And able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that we may obey us, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Let me read this from the Good News Translation. It says, if a person never makes a mistake in what he says, he is perfect and he's able to control his whole being. The New Living Translation says, we all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way. We are going to have to control and discipline. I think that's what Pastor Judy was sharing Friday night, that we're going to have to discipline ourselves in what we say to get different results. Or if we want to get God-like results, then we're going to have to say and do what he says. And that takes discipline. That's going to change some habits. And so when we do, we can begin to do the things that he did and the greater works. And that is going to require change. It's going to require some discipline on our parts, that we're going to have to put the flesh down and its wants and desires, and we're not going to say the things that we see. We walk by faith. Who? Faith in God, and not by sight. It looks like it's impossible, but God just told me it is possible. I didn't make that up. He said it's possible. So now I have to then make a choice. Am I going to say it's not possible, or am I going to say what he just revealed, what he said to me? If I'm facing a layoff in a job and they lay me off and I get quiet. See, it's important to get quiet, not be fearful. It's important to get quiet and get God's mind and direction on the subject. And let's just say he says to you, I got a better job for you. Better pay, better everything. Now you have a choice to make. You're going to have to then say, okay, I got all these bills, I got all of this, what am I going to do? Well, what did God just tell you? He said, I got a better job for you. Well, then you need to start saying that I have a better job, because God said so. And then you need to get quiet and let him direct you as to where that better job is and what to do. And not decree what you see, and decree what you feel, and decree what you're experiencing. You need to decree what God has said. Because he said, and that's the discipline. That's the discipline. Because if we can't control our mouths, then we can't steer our lives in the right direction. See, because just as any person does, you know, when it says control or control the horse, the bit or the bridle will control the horse, steer it, just like the rudder in a ship can steer it. Well, our tongues steer the direction of our lives. And so crying about issues in life and moaning about it and complaining about it is not going to change the direction. And one of the things, you know, just think about it. If you were driving a car, if you're driving a car and you're heading in the wrong direction and you're complaining about, man, I don't know, we're going the wrong way. Well, then turn the wheel. Crying about going in the wrong direction and not turning the wheel is not going to change the direction, is it? You're still going to be going in the wrong direction, and you're still going to be complaining about it. The way you change the direction is with your words. And see, that's what Jesus did here. He said nothing except what the Father told him to say. And I can tell you, you think about it, when he caught the woman in adultery, They, what are you going to say now? What about this? What about the law? Blah, 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 blah. He sat down and said nothing. He didn't say a thing. And so sometimes that's what we need to do. Say nothing. And wait on him to give us what to say. Because our words will direct our lives. It'll steer our lives in what we have, what we don't have. And what we need to be saying is exactly what he gives us to say. Now, let's, for a few minutes here, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, don't unhook from John 14 and your thoughts here. I just jumped over there for James for a second. But Jesus said, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these you do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now look at Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verse 14. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto" who? The Father. We're talking about the Father today. "Unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Who are you bowing your knees to? The Father. Who is your direction going to come from? The Father. Where are the words going to come from? The Father. And it says, "of whom," now he said, "the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom," he's talking about Jesus there, "of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." The whole family is named. So let me ask a question. What's your name? Don't be afraid to say it. What is your name? If he said, "of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named," you are the body of Christ, then what is your name? Jesus. He is the head of the church. The church is joined to Jesus. He said, "You're named by his name." Doesn't the Bible say, "It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me"? I'm dead is him. I live in this flesh, but the one who lives in me, the real me, is Jesus. We are one body. So this spirit looks like him. I was born of incorruptible seed, the Word of God. My spirit is the same DNA as God. Is that not correct? Has to be. It's his nature in me. Isn't that not correct? It's his nature. I'm called by his name. When the devil sees you, he don't see you. Who does he see? He sees Jesus in you. Man, sometimes we keep looking on the outside. Yeah, this is your shell. We have different colors. We have different nationalities. We have different sizes, different ages, all of that. But on the inside, we all are part of the same body. It's Jesus in us. We're born of the same seed. We're called by the same name. The whole family in heaven and earth is called by that name. So, when you look at, and I'll just mention it here, Acts 4:12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, turn over to Matthew chapter 8 for a second. We are called by his name. So when you think about John, you go over to Matthew 8. But when you think about what he said in John 14, and he said, "Whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." What is your name? Same as his. You're not asking in your own name. You're asking in his name. And when you think about that, we're connected We're the body. He's the head. When the head gives directions, I'm asking in his name, but that name is my name. Is it not? I'm not asking in Pastor Ed's name. You're not asking in your name. You're asking in his name, which you're joined to. He said, you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Are you not? You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Matthew chapter 8. Look at verse 8. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 4. I gave you the wrong chapter. Matthew 4 and verse 8. It says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, these kingdoms, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now in verse 8, when he says he showeth him all the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of the world, that Greek word, if you, you know, anybody who's a Bible student, you can look this up in a Strong's Concordance, you can look that up. But that word means kingship, dominion, rule, and it also, in a footnote, says not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. So the devil showed him all of these kingdoms and said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you the rule or authority over them. Well, at that point, he had authority, did he not? That was a truth. If Jesus had fallen down and worshiped him, just like Adam gave away his authority here in the earth, Jesus could have. So the devil wasn't saying an untruth. He was the ruler over the kingdoms of this world. But I believe Colossians says he was spoiled. Jesus spoiled principalities and powers in Colossians 2:15. He spoiled principalities. When you look up that word spoiled, it means to disarm. He disarmed him and took back what the devil stole. And it says he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And so, since the day Jesus was raised from the dead, he took back everything that the devil had stolen. And so today, God got his property back. So anything that the devil is ruling over, it's been given to him unlawfully. Anything that he's ruling over in your life, he doesn't have the right to unless you've given it to him. Either ignorantly, some of us did it, I did it ignorantly, and said things that allowed him access. But he doesn't have the right to. And so he's been disarmed, he's been spoiled, and he doesn't have the right to mess up your finances. unless you allow him. He doesn't have the right to mess up your health unless you allow him to. He's been disarmed. And so in Jesus' name, he has to go. It has to change. Because that's what he said. He said, those that believe on me, the works that I did, what did he do? He came to destroy the works of the devil, I believe is what it says in 1 John. He came to destroy the works of the devil, did he not? He sure did. He destroyed them. And so, since his works have been destroyed, his rulership has been destroyed, then we need to, at God's direction, get back what he has unlawfully taken ownership over. Don't we not? That's what gives God glory. And so for us, since we're a joint heir, Romans 8:17, and he said, and if children, then heirs, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So if I'm a child of God, then I'm an heir of God, and joint heir with Christ. It says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So when he gives us direction, it's for our good. And so he gives us direction in his word. He gives us personal direction. And it's for us to take back the things that have been stolen and destroyed in our lives. And I keep saying this, the church should be an image of prosperity and health in this world. And I believe that it, little by little it is happening. And we're taking back our health. We're taking back the finances that have been stolen in our lives. We're walking in the blessings of God. And when you think about it, if the Bible says in Galatians 3:13, Christ became a curse for us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He became a curse. He became a curse for who? The whole world. So, really, the church is here not just for us to be blessed. That's part of it. But the church is here as the body of Christ to be a blessing to people and to lift the curse off of people's lives. That is the command that we've been given. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Those that believe will be saved. Those that won't will be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. That's our command. Yeah, we'll be blessed if we follow God. But our purpose in this earth is to lift the curse and break the curse off of the lives of people. That is the purpose of the body of Christ, to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. And that is our purpose. And that's what Jesus did. And he said, the same things I did, you will do, and greater things, because I go unto my Father. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we can see that our command, there's been a command given to the church. And with that command came the authority to walk in this earth as his disciples, as his children, in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we're called by that name. When we show up, who showed up? Who showed up? Who showed up? Everybody awake today? You're not sure. When I show up, who showed up?
Jesus.
There you go. Jesus showed up. And so if Jesus showed up, then all the works that he did showed up. And the anointing of God showed up. And the blessings of God showed up when you showed up. Now, you may not realize it, and you may not be walking in it, and it may be dormant in you, but God's Word is trying to get us to see, and the light of God's Word is to see that when I show up, it's like years ago in the 80s, anybody ever hear of T.L. Osborne? Anybody ever hear of the ministry of T.L. Osborne? He was an evangelist, still alive today. He's in his 90s, still active with his daughter. His wife went home to be with the Lord, but he's still active in the field ministry overseas. And the hundreds of thousands that used to come to his meetings, I saw him in a few times back in the 80s. He used to preach for Kenneth Copeland. And I was just happened to be in the same hotel, and he walked through the lobby and kind of just, you're very close. Very short man. He's very, very short. Not very tall. Bright red hair, big mustache. And he always used to say this when he'd get off. He said, when I get off the plane and I'm in Africa and I go to Africa to do these big open air crusades, he says, when I get off the plane, royalty has just arrived. And that's how he thought. Why? Because royalty lived in him. And royalty did arrive. Jesus just arrived when he arrived. And the way he would minister, because hundreds of thousands, millions would show up to his crusades. And you couldn't see the mass, the throng of people. You couldn't lay hands on people. It was not possible. He would preach and preach and preach, and he'd wear white so you could see this little speck on the stage. And he would preach and preach and preach and preach until canes would fly up and people's arms would grow and things. Nobody laid hands on him. He just preached the word because he had assurance that the word would do the work. The power of God's word would heal and deliver. And so that's the way he was directed, and he's still doing those things today. So we can see that when we show up, Jesus showed up, God showed up. When we come to our job, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. When I show up on my job, it could be hell on earth, but Jesus just showed up at that job. In me. And so we need to be not moved by the environment, but listening. What is the Father saying? What is he directing me to say? What is he directing me to do? How does he want me to act on that job? And see, one of the things is, and we'll close with this, when you show up, most people are going to say, oh, that's just so-and-so. And just like the devil, because the devil will work through people, and the devil will say things through people to get you to say something other than what the Father says and to respond, which is no different than what the devil did. I'll give you all of this if you just fall down and worship me. Now, it may not be as strong as that through people, but they may say, well, you look sick today. We're all going to lose our jobs. They're downsizing. And see, if you believe that and you begin to fear and say things, then you've just released that into your life. And the other thing to remember is that since we are the body of Christ, what we say and what we do could change the whole direction of an office. If Jesus showed up, you know, everybody would be quick to say, oh, yeah, if Jesus showed up, yeah, I mean, he'd change it. Really? So who are you? Who are you? See, sometimes we think less of ourselves because we look on the outside. I'm just me. Well, who are you? You are named with the whole body in heaven and earth. You're named by his name. So when you show up, Jesus just showed up. And we need to think royal thoughts. We need to think God thoughts, Word of God thoughts, Spirit-directed thoughts, because the devil is going to work through people to do what? Steal what he does not have a right to have. He's been spoiled and defeated. And who? Let's go over here. Go to Hebrews chapter 1, just so you can see this. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, are we in the last days? We sure are. Who hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things? Who am I an heir of? I'm an heir of all things. But the devil's trying to take back what he's been stripped of, and he'll operate through people. But I'm an heir of all things. And I need to think like that and talk like that and not be drawn into words motivated by a negative world. You can't have this. You'll never do this. You can't go there. You'll never have that. You're too old. You're too this, you're too that, you can't do this, you can't have that. See, that's negative. Who's the father of negative? The devil is. And he will operate through people because they think like that. But you're of another kingdom. You've been translated, and not you've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. I live by different rules. I live by the rules of the King. And his words are settled, not the devil's. And so we need to make sure that when we are about in life, that we think like who we are. We are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And I'm an heir of all things so that I can be used of God and a blessing to people in this earth. So that what I do and say will do what? Not draw them to me, draw them to God. Bring them to God. Show them how good God is. That he loves them and cares for them. See, we are going to be the face of God here in the earth. Just like Jesus was. They kept saying, what did he say? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you heard me, you heard the Father. No different. It's no different today. When I show up, if I speak, I'm speaking as directed by him. And so my words should be seasoned with salt. They should be seasoned with love so that when we walk away from a place, it's better than when we arrived. Is that not true? Amen. I know you know these things. Sometimes we just need to talk about it, remind ourselves of who we are in Christ and that He's in us. And when I show up, God showed up. And Brother Hagin used to say it for 60 plus years. We need to be God inside minded. Isn't that true? It's just saying it another way. We need to be God inside minded. Who are we? We are Him. I have His nature. What is a song we used to sing? I have His nature. I have His ability. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Anybody get anything? I hope. Put you to sleep? No? Did you get something to feed on? Meditate on it. And to me, the best way, I'll tell you what I do. I just get, if you have access to the internet, get that and just play what you have. Play what we have off the internet. Go to our website. Just play it. You don't even have to download it. Just play it. Listen to it. Feed on it. And over time, it will begin to get down in your heart, just like a seed gets into the soil and you keep watering it with the Word of God, and the entrance of it brings light and you begin to see clear who you really are. And that you can take this world. When I say take it, all things are possible. We can. When I say take it, I mean to affect this earth. And one of the things that keep coming, God spoke to Pastor Clinton years ago. You know, I'm sure if when God gives you words like that, you go, whew, okay. He said, call this place. He meant down in Nanuet. This was before we had this property here. He said, stretch your hands out and call this place the Spirit Center for the Nations. Now, you know, you don't have to make it come to pass. You don't have to make it. It's the Father that does the works. And so already, even without people showing up, people are accessing our website from all over the world, hundreds of thousands of people. And it's becoming just that. Spirit Center for the Nations. And it's His responsibility to bring it to pass. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about it. Anybody have any comments, questions? Oh, me. Any thoughts? No? You have a thought. Okay, I'll answer it if I can.
Hi, Pastor Ed. I had a question about when we went to John 14.
John 14.
Yes, okay. 14, verse 14, when he says, if you ask anything in my name, and I know you said that we're asking as Jesus, because we have His name.
We have His name.
So does that mean to ask things by His direction?
Yes. Yeah, because again, the same process, that nothing, just the same way that Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. I believe He said that in John 8, I think. Let me look over there. John chapter 8. Maybe it was. Yeah. 8:28. Yeah. It says, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. And I believe He says it in a few other places. He did nothing of Himself, neither do we. We do nothing of ourselves. But He said, you ask in His name, and why are we going to do the works? Because He goes to the Father. He's the high priest. He's the mediator between God and man. So we're going through Christ. And why are we going through? In His name. But it's at the direction of the Father, In other words, the direction, the words that we speak. You know, so often, you know, we hear, well, you know, confess the word of God and it'll change something. Yes, it will. But words spoken in faith change something. So I can't do anything of myself. It has to be the Father that directs, and He is going to honor His directions, not my directions or my desires, my whims, or whatever you would call it. Just because I speak something from the Word of God doesn't necessarily mean it's going to come to pass if it's not said in faith. Well, where is faith coming from? From God. And He is going to give us, He is going to enlighten us to speak something. And then when light comes, when direction comes, faith will be there. So it still has to be that process where I'm going to make a confession. I'm going to confess the Word of God to do what? Faith comes by hearing. I'm going to hear it, and I'm going to say it. I'm planting the Word of God in my heart. I'm meditating on it. But you heard Brother Hagin say it for 60 years. He'd say when a test or a trial would come in his life, he wouldn't just jump up and quote a scripture. He wouldn't. He said, what did he say? He said, I'd meditate on the scriptures for a few days and wait for direction. I'd wait for inspiration, another way of saying direction. A scripture would rise up big in my heart and I would speak it. Inspiration, that's a direction. See? So as inspiration comes, we speak because it's unctioned by the Holy Ghost. But we still don't just go and run and confess something because we know a scripture. Brother Hagin said that for years. You take time to meditate in the Word of God, get out scriptures that may pertain to that situation, and just begin to meditate on them. What does that mean? Quote them. Begin to say them out loud. And as inspiration, as direction comes, you say it. And then once you say it, then the Father is going to bring it to pass. He'll do the works. He's given you the direction. Yeah, that process is not going to change. It's the same. Yeah. 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 That makes sense? Yeah. Yeah. And too often, I think sometimes we are quick to quote a scripture. And you heard Brother Hagin say this for 60 plus years. He'd say, God directed me to do this, and he said, I did it once, and I never did that again, ever. And he said, God directed me to minister that particular way once, and I never ever did it again. Now, he could have said, hey, I ministered that way, I'll go this way. But it was as inspiration came to minister a particular way that he got results, you see. And we need to do the same thing. That God may, I just use an example, he may have you bless somebody a particular way. But we need to wait on God because is that the right method for that time? You see, sometimes people aren't ready to receive what you're going to do. And then it's out of place. You see, it's not the right time. You know, the words that you speak may be not the right time. And sometimes what I find is that when you begin to talk with people and you begin to just say, you know, what's going on? You know, what is it that's going on? And the longer people talk, you begin to find out what the problem is, what they're meditating on. And sometimes God can focus you in that particular way as to how. But all the time, you got to be listening on the inside. You got to be waiting and listening. Even though you're hearing, you're listening. What am I going to say? Because I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond to the situation. And so I have to be listening. You see, and waiting for his direction, because if I just say something out of turn, sometimes people will just say, yeah, I know that already. I already know that. Because maybe somebody has told them 50 times, and you're going to be the 51st, and they're going to shut right down on you. They're going to go, yeah, I already know that. But you may come another way, and something they never thought of. Well, who's going to know that? God. You see, so it's important that we wait on the Lord for direction as to what to say, how to say it, what to do, how to do it. And then when we do, we'll get the results. Yeah, it is. Yeah, you are asking in his name. Yeah. See, when I go, I'm part of him. I'm asking, I'm saying, Lord, I need your direction in your name, but I'm called by his name. But that doesn't mean that we don't ask in his name. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, praise God. Praise God.